Flames fans, welcome to another special episode of Flames Unfiltered with your host, Brad Bird, and myself, Kyle Lewis. These are really fun because we don't follow much of the format anyway, but these are always different. So Brad, tell us what we're talking about today.
Well, Kyle, we are going to talk about why in the world we're Flames fans.
That's a great question. It's not because we have mental health issues and love living with an obscure hockey team, as much as many you might think that.
One of the things, I mean, let's preface this just slightly. It is slightly odd that we are Flames fans, number one, and slightly odd because of where we live. Like Kyle and I do not live in Calgary. I am from North Dakota, which is just, I live in a town just about an hour and 10 minutes from the border. So I am very close to the border, very close to, right, I'm right south of Brandon, Manitoba. So I'm close to Canada. I spent a lot of time in Canada growing up. I was up there a lot for hockey. I'm about as close to Canadian as I can be. Now, mm-hmm. Kyle lives way out on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm in, as many of you know, in the Moncton area of New Brunswick, which is actually the fastest growing city in Canada. I couldn't be much further from Calgary. I do spend quite a lot of time there and also in Edmonton. It's funny how many people think that, and I'm sure they think the same of you, that we actually are in Calgary. And when I tell people my podcast co-host is in North Dakota, they're like, what? Why?
And a lot of people I know, and I've had people say to me, like, not why are you Flames, but they're like, why do you, how, I've been asked this, how can you do a podcast not being in Calgary? And you know, it is a little tricky. And I will admit, we would probably be open to more resources had we lived mm-hmm. in Calgary, but you can't, like, I hope people respect us as Flames fans and as Flames podcasters, not being from Calgary, because I mean, we are as passionate as you can be about the team and study the team as much as you possibly can. So I hope people respect the fact of that we were able to do this remotely. I do travel up to Calgary lately, not as much as I should be. You've been a little bit more fortunate to get to Calgary a little bit easier than I have lately. I'm hoping that we can change that, and I'm hoping that we can be there next year together. To not only watch the Flames, but promote the podcast and talk to the friends that we do have in Calgary.
I'm up to like 3-4 times a year at least that I'm there. It's kind of crazy. But, and this is interesting too, because I don't know if I've shared, I feel like maybe I have, but I don't know if I shared some of my theories about why I think you became a Flames fan. But
I would love to hear why you think I became a Flames fan. Because I know why I became a Flames fan, and that's what we're talking about today.
So yeah, so we're going to start with you, because I want to throw this theory out there. And I think I mentioned it before, like I said, but I can't quite recall. But based on where you are demographically and geographically, I think a big part of what may have drawn you to the Flames was that they were one of the first teams, if not the first team, to really, really scour the U.S. college hockey ranks for talent in the 80s, and they get a lot of great players from the States as a result of that approach. Is there any truth to that?
I would like to say yes, that is the reason. It's probably more the reason I continued to be a Flames fan. A player that you player that sticks in my head when you brought that up is James Patrick. Remember James Patrick?
Oh, yeah. Number three, baby.
Yeah, he was a stud at the University of North Dakota. And
he was a stud defenseman for the Flames and the Sabres.
Yes. Yep. You got to remember when I became a Flames fan, I was 13 years old.
Yeah. That's unreal, because that's about the same age I was when I became a Flames fan.
Really?
I was 12 or 13 for sure. For sure. Yeah.
I wonder if that's like when we are mentally capable of developing a favorite. And I before that I was a hockey fan, and like most people are like, what do you mean you're not a Minnesota North Stars fan? Or, well, now they say Minnesota Wild fan. Which is really slightly crazy, because if you think about it geographically, my closest is Winnipeg. My second closest is Minnesota. My third closest is Colorado, and then Calgary's right about the same as Colorado. If I got into a car and drove to Denver, it'd be about the same time it would be to drive to Calgary. Now, a lot of people in Montana, which there is not a lot of hockey in Montana and hardly any hockey fans, but the ones that are usually Calgary Flames fans.
Yeah.
Why that is, I don't know, because I think a lot of people from Montana spend a lot of time in the mountains and right between Calgary and Montana. So I think that's probably why, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, out here, it's Toronto, Montreal, Boston fans typically because of geography. A fair amount of Ottawa fans now, which is cool. Ottawa's a great city. We've often talked about our fondness of the Senators. Very few Flames fans, and I can tell you I pretty well know them all quite well. But I digress. Let me fill me in here. Let me know what the story is. How did you become a Flames fan?
It's a little embarrassing. But
this is gonna be great. How,
in 1985, right? I was 13 years old. I was playing hockey, and then we're years. And in 84, the Minnesota North Stars, came to my town and played against the U.S. Olympic team at the time with Chris Chelios and stuff. I think I mentioned that on an episode just not that long ago. Mm-hmm. So I was a North Stars fan. The year prior to that, they came to town and played the Philadelphia Flyers. Don't remember really anybody on the Flyers. And the only North Star that I really remember was Dino Cicerelli and Bobby Smith. Bobby Smith was like the guy, right? And so you would think that would lead me to just say, hey, I'm a Minnesota North Stars fan, and that's what it is. But a year later, this is embarrassing, but this is why I'm a Flames fan. I'm out shopping with my dad at a store that... And this is one thing that is a little bit embarrassing about the States. But you got to remember, this is the States back in 1985. There was no real hockey stores. I remember one hockey store where it's just all hockey stuff. And that was in Grand Forks, which is about 3 hours from where I live. But you'd have a hockey, kind of like, you know what you guys have, I believe it's like in your Canadian Tire stores. Don't you guys have like a little hockey section? Am I wrong about that?
Oh yeah, no, every Canadian Tire. Actually, the company I work for, Home Hardware, has, especially in smaller towns, they have hockey sections as well. We carry a lot of hockey equipment through our distribution centers.
So that's kind of how our stores were, but we had a store called Home of Economy, which is actually based out of Grand Forks, which is that's where the University of North Dakota is. It's a big, big hockey town. World Juniors were there in 2005.
Yep.
So anyways, I'm at this Home of Economy store, and I'm getting, I can't remember if I was getting a stick or skates or I don't remember what, it doesn't matter. And I said to my dad, hey, like, can I get a jersey? And he was like, no. And I don't know why I remember prices. Like back then for a jersey was like $60, which if you correlate that to now, it was pretty expensive. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we're not getting a jersey. And so I'm like, oh crap. So I didn't let up on it. Right. I kept pushing, and he's like, all right, you can get one off this rack. And it was like a clearance rack there. And this is scary that at 13 years old, I remember the teams that were on the clearance rack.
Yeah, right.
It was Quebec Nordiques on there.
Nice.
There was some Minnesota North Stars jerseys, which I'm surprised I didn't pick one of those. There was no Winnipeg Jets stuff. There was a couple old Montreal Canadiens jerseys and some Boston Bruins stuff. And then there was, believe it or not, the home and away for the Calgary Flames. And I grabbed the white home jersey, and I thought, all right, this is the one I'm going with. And now I don't know if that clinched me to being a fan, but it clinched me for that year and led me up till 1986 when they went to the finals.
Yeah, that would do it.
And I think that bridged the gap, right? And then I'm watching them in the finals, and they end up losing that year to Montreal. But it was a fun run. And in the States in the mid 80s, like the amount of hockey that we got was embarrassing. Really, I mean, we got like the Stanley Cup Finals on ABC, and that was about it, right? Like I got to watch just bits and pieces. They end up losing. I remember ESPN. Kind of getting some of it in the years after that. So in 89, when they make the cup run, I was a sophomore in high school, and I was able to watch the games.
Yeah.
Some of the times I would have to, believe it or not, go to this Mexican restaurant and watch the games because they were the only place in town that had what was called the center ice package back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't get all the games, but I would get most of the games, and I would go watch at this restaurant if I had to, right? And I remember I had just gotten my driver's license, so I was able to go do those things. But they go on this cup run. I watched Theo Fleury was what just those big goals that he scored was just, I mean, just amazing. He was a smaller player at the time. I was a smaller player, so I looked up to that. I loved Gary Roberts and Al MacInnis, and those guys carry me over. Well, in the 90s, when I had graduated from high school, I would go with my college friends, many of which were from Canada, because our college we bring in a ton of Canadians. And we would go up to Winnipeg and go to Jets games, and we'd go to Brandon and watch the Wheat Kings play, and we'd do all these things. And when I would go to Winnipeg, we'd always make sure it was the Flames trip there, right? And so we'd always stay at the West in downtown, and that's where the teams would stay. And so I'd get to meet players. I got to meet Fleury and Chiasson and German Titov and all these guys at this hotel too, and get autographs and stuff like that. And it was just super, super fun. And that just kept the ball rolling with the Flames. It got me through those really bad years. And then the 04 cup run just sent my fan love for the Flames to another level. And it stayed at that level, if not growing since then. But that's what it is. And I've been to every major Canadian city to go to NHL games. I followed the Flames through all of them, and I've got to live what hockey is in Canada. And yes, it is different than the United States. It is. And if you don't believe me, like, just look at the crowds outside during the playoffs each and every game. That doesn't happen in the U.S.
Yeah.
I wish it did. It just doesn't.
Yeah, different story.
But that's how I became a Flames fan, as weird as that is, obscure as that is, but more importantly, why I stayed a Flames fan and got to the level that I am right now.
Nice. Yeah, I actually learned a lot from that. And I knew some of it, but it's interesting to kind of do a deep dive into it, right?
Yeah. So indulge me with your story. 13 years old, same? That's great. I did not know then. We talked today.
Yeah, I started dabbling in hockey actually like right around the year 2000. It was the 2000 playoffs when I got really into it. It's kind of funny. I remember, at least this is my memory of it, I saw on the front page of the sports section of our local newspaper at the time a picture of Peter Forsberg in the away Avalanche jersey, like fending off a defenseman. And I loved Forsberg and loved that jersey. And those late Colorado jerseys are still my favorites from that era, late 90s, I should say. And I always loved the color red, so I always kind of thought the Flames were kind of cool looking. But I thought I was going to be a Colorado fan, and my parents actually got me a white pedestal jersey, which is still hanging up in the closet here. And I remember it was weird because in 2000, 2001, when this would have happened, I think it was that Christmas I got the jersey, I watched the December 31st New Year's Eve game between Calgary and Montreal, and Calgary was wearing a completely different jersey than the one that I had because they had switched to Blasty on the shoulders with that white jersey, right? So I was like, what the hell? Like, my jersey's irrelevant. And then I started playing a ton of the video games, NHL 2000, 2001, blah, blah, blah. And it was always, like, my thing, because, like, I stayed up late. This is what I really enjoyed. As a kid, I was nowhere near as social as I am now, so that the Flames games are always on so late, where I'm on the East Coast, it's like the whole house was asleep, and it was just my time to watch my hockey team, right? And I remember I go back and watch old Theo Fleury stuff because I heard his name was just enamored the way he played. That's why I took number 14 when I played. So it's kind of like a retrospect. And I remember a game between the Rangers and Flames, and Fleury was at the Rangers, and like he almost scored the winner in overtime. And I remember Glenn Sather like almost falling into his chair with a cigar in his mouth. And it's weird how you remember stuff like that, right?
Yeah, odd stuff. Yeah.
And I was like a big, big fan. I remember I got a pay advance at my first ever job so I could go to Sport Check to pick up my first Blasty jersey. So I get my boss give me like an extra $50 so I didn't have to wait to pick it up. It was on layaway for me.
On layaway.
Yeah. And then a few years of watching some really terrible Flames teams in that time period, Gilmour became a superstar, which was huge. Then he had the Olympics in Salt Lake City in 02, where he was a huge piece of that. And then I remember in 2004, actually, right after that, say when they beat Detroit, people were like, oh my God, this team might actually pull it off. And everybody's like, oh yeah, you're on the bandwagon. Like friends of mine, like no, dude, like he's been an insane Flames fan for years now. Like this is his team. And then that summer
Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then that summer, those Flames jerseys, like in here in Moncton on the East Coast, it was Flames jerseys in every sports store. The red with the black sea was like, there was like 20 in stock everywhere. It's like the whole country kind of embraced them. And also just the fact they were such underdogs of that team. And we, you know, the 04 Flames, like they realistically, they get as much love, if not more, than the 89 Cup winning team. Right. And you said it yourself, the way they, you know, it was like steroids to your fandom. It was the same thing for me. It's like all of a sudden everyone and their dog cares about a team I've cared about for years. And it's like, it was very validating for me because everybody here looks at Toronto, Montreal, Boston. And this was like, and now it's really unique because it's like, you mentioned this at the outset of this episode. We had a fan, I think it was John actually, that sent us.
Yes.
He put a basically in his read how he thought it was like a unique perspective that we're not from Calgary. And I can tell you when I go to Calgary, it's, I certainly wouldn't call it an event, but like I get messages on X and like, you got time for a beer and like, are you going to be at the game? And it'd be great to meet you. And I've met so many people there. And it's like, it always feels like a special occasion, obviously for me to go to Calgary, but I feel so overwhelmingly welcomed when I get there. It's like, it really has become a home away from home for me. And some of my closest friends, even from high school, actually moved to Calgary and the rest is history. But yeah, it's just the color red and just some circumstances at the time. And I remember like thinking like Derek Morris was such a good up and coming defenseman and Val Bure and Aginla and Savard, Phil Housley, Mike Vernon. I love that Blasty mask that he wore. Actually, I have an autographed photo of it behind me when he's wearing number 29, which we talked about before on the show. So it was just, it was a lot of weird circumstances. And then like my dad became kind of he's a Bruins fan, but kind of a closeted Calgary fan. And my brother who doesn't know hockey from football was super stoked in 04. And yeah.
When was your first trip to Calgary?
2009. Yeah.
So I guess an interesting question, because have you ever thought about not being a Flames fan or ditching the Flames? Franchises went through some real ups, and we talked about that in 04 and 89, and they've went through some real downs. And
oh yeah.
For a person not living in Calgary and have that vested interest of being a member and a citizen of that town or city, yeah. I mean, it would seem to be easy to jump ship, right? Have you ever considered it or thought of it?
I always said I couldn't because I had too much invested, and people I think thought that. And at one point I might have meant it to mean like merchandise, but it's the emotional investment. You just can't do it. And like even going to see like our local team, the Moncton Wildcats, are the best team in junior hockey this year, and I still can't get as into them as I do the Flames, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, and like an even bigger, I guess an even bigger reason is like I've been in love with somebody who's an Oilers fan for most of my life, and oof. I've gone to Oilers games. I've supported her and her fandom, and even that I don't think could ever be enough. Certainly not to make me an Oilers fan, but could never pull me away from my love of the Flames. Like it's just, I could move to Edmonton, I could move to North Dakota, I could move to California, I could move to Ireland. It doesn't matter where I go. And as I've found too, we've talked about this, there's some really great Flames fans in Australia and Sweden and Finland, like all over the world, England, like all over the world. And
some of our listeners, for as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we got a bunch in Australia and New Zealand, actually. And it's like, it's just not an option. It's not on the table. It's like, it's actually more important to me and less likely to change than any other belief I hold, whether it's religious, spiritual, political, you name it. So what about you? What's your response to that question?
The only time, I do have to admit that there was one time, and it wasn't that long ago, actually. Do you remember a couple years ago when there was the big, this team's going to Houston talk?
Yeah, Eric Francis was largely responsible for that, but yeah.
Yes, and mostly just talk to manipulate the situation on the arena. Absolutely. And I'll be whatever. But anyways, it was talk. And, you know, as a fan and as someone who's invested as much as we are into a show and into everything that we do, it crossed my mind to the fact of what would I do if the Flames moved to Houston? And yep. I accepted the fact that I just couldn't do it. If they leave Calgary, that team is dead to me. and I would have had to move on to a different team.
Yeah.
And that would be the only way and the only time, honestly, since I started becoming a Flames fan that I even considered it, was that when there was talk of, yeah, well, Houston's a realistic option and something that could happen. That's the only time.
I remember that.
If they would have went to Houston, what would you have stayed with them?
I don't know that I could have. I actually, I think my brother asked me that at the time. A lot of people were asking me that question. It's like, oh, what would you do? What would you do? And it's like, I really, it was hard for me to answer. Because my frustration with the politics around that arena and the, some of the deception that I feel went on and the back and forth and the reporting, I probably would have become a Jets fan.
That's what I would have done too.
Yeah. I mean, obviously
the easy route for me, right?
It would they're very close to you. And, you know, I watched the game 7 this year between St. Louis and the Jets and like just that small arena just being so loud. And I like their jerseys. I do like the city of Winnipeg. I've been there. I did some work there. That was probably what was going to happen, but I was so adamant that there was, and I thought at the time, whether it was Francis, whoever else reported, I'm like, it's not realistic team's going to leave. Like it's just, always, at this point.
I thought, you know, there's a chance that they would leave, but I always knew that Calgary was a strong enough market that someone else would go there. Now, if they would have went there and been the Flames, then I would have just been a Flames fan. But, you know, I sat and I thought about this team and the way, I believe this, what was this, 2 or 3 years ago this happened?
It was probably 3 years now.
But I remember sitting there thinking, like, I didn't have a Mika Kiprusoff or a Jerome Iginla or a Theo Fleury or, hell, a Sean Donovan to hold me to follow them to Houston.
Yeah,
I didn't have that because, and I think me and you have talked about this a few times, and I know I did a Flames Unfiltered Shorts on it. Or like right now, if you ask me who my favorite Flame is, I'm like, I don't know. Can I let them grow into the position and then I'll assume them as my favorite? Right now, it just seems like there's not that guy that stands out to me. I got a couple of guys that are in the works on it, but you know what? Like, we didn't have that during the Houston talk. We didn't have that guy that would drag me to Houston to be a fan. Plus, I would have been so pissed off. I don't know how in the world. And plus, I don't really like Texas. I don't know how in the world I would have been able to do that.
I don't know how I would have navigated it. And it's funny to think about now, because up until you brought it up, I totally forgot about that time period. It's that whole like ride or die statement, right? It's like you say about a person, and I'll say it about the Flames. Like, but again, if they left, if they rebranded, whatever could have happened, it would have. I could have realistically become a guy who like just divested myself of hockey largely. I'd still be a fan, but nothing like I was, and say, hey, you know what? It was a good run, but it's time to move on. And I never, like I said, I never felt it was a realistic possibility, but not having the Flames in Calgary, knowing the city of Calgary, the people of Calgary, the rivalry with Edmonton, you know, it's like, I don't think it would work for me. I can't imagine.
I know it would have been a tough thing. It's funny though, when I sit and I look at the years that I've been a Flames fan and I look forward to the future, but I, you know, I remember when they won the cup in 89 and I was a sophomore in high school and I'm young and dumb and 16, I believe. And like, you know, I just thought it was going to happen all the time. Right. And I mean, in 04, I was off the charts. Like my days revolved completely about that playoff game that night. Like literally that's what my life was. And I've longed so much for that intensity. And I think we got it a little bit in that Dallas Edmonton run, maybe a little bit. And the year we knocked off Vancouver, what year was that? You're a wizard in that.
15.
There's been glimpses where, you know, it's been amazing, but all in all, if you think about the time period that we've been Flames fans, it's been pretty lean. I mean, we're diehards of an organization that has won one Stanley Cup. Now I know that's more than Vancouver. So, all my Vancouver friends can think about that, but, It is not, you know, it's not a storied run for this organization. And, you know, we sit and we talk about this weekly and we talk about where we're going with this organization. And I think both of us are pretty positive on the direction we're going. And I just hope someday that we're able to I don't know. A lot of people ask me, like, what would you do if they won the Stanley Cup? Would you, like, and honestly, I said I'd probably sit there and cry.
I'd probably expire. I told my brother I wouldn't really have a reason to exist anymore, so I just, I wouldn't die. I would just cease to exist as people know me, because it's like, all right, the journey's over.
It's been a big part of our lives, you know, and
huge.
I couldn't imagine what a winter would be like, not having 82 nights of games to look forward to, right?
Well, it's funny when you treat it almost like a job that you love, where it's like, oh, like, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I got to watch the Flames game. Yep. Like, I got to.
It's on my.
Yeah. And for me, whether it means watch it in the morning or watch as much as I can before I'm just too exhausted to keep my eyes open on the East Coast. I mean, the answer will sometimes differ. But yeah, it's a huge part of my life. And that's, I guess that's why I joined you on this show.
Yeah. That's funny. And we've been doing it together. We're just finishing year six of the show. And I think you've been along for the ride for three now. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be. Yep.
Two or three. Yeah. Jeez. It's been fun, but it's also been fun, being a Flames fan and good times ahead, but it was nice to visit today and talk about how we got to the point we're at, right?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think over time we'll uncover maybe more reasons why we feel the way we do about this team, but it's a gift that keeps on giving. Despite, and you alluded really well to this too, like all those years of mediocrity and just the one Stanley Cup, the three Cup Finals appearances, for some reason we keep coming back for more. So
that's right. Well, thanks, Flames fans, for joining us on another special episode of Flames Unfiltered. We'll be having those throughout the summer, sprinkled in with some timely, regular Flames Unfiltered episodes. Have a good week, Flames fans. As we leave today, another band out of Searching for Scarlet. They are a good band. Check them out on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify. They are out there. Give them a listen and a shout-out. Good music. And hopefully everybody's having a good off-season and good summer. Kyle, we will talk again next week. Have a good week, Flames fans.
All right, talk to you guys soon, and hopefully you guys have nice weather wherever you are.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berube and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.